part of this service. And appreciate all of you attending the house of the Lord tonight. And right from the outset, before we get started here, there are some people that are here tonight, and if I start calling names, as the old adage, you know, goes, you're going to get in trouble. But I've got some very near and dear friends that are here in the service tonight, and we appreciate them so very much being here. And, of course, all the churches from the youth rallies, all of the pastors that are represented, and we're just so very thankful that you've come tonight to be a part of this service. I'm glad to see my friend, Brother Rocky Millsap, here tonight. I appreciate the way the Lord has used him in our lives, and it's good to see Mom and Dad Crafton and all the girls, the family, and just everyone that's here. Isn't it wonderful to be serving God? You know, there's only one thing I would be tonight if I wasn't Pentecostal. Brother Mullis, I'd be ashamed of myself. I'm glad tonight to be Pentecostal, aren't you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Pepper, for this opportunity, and we pray the Lord will move as only He can do. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2, and then the book of Acts chapter 2. I want to preach to you here tonight with the help of the Lord for just a little while, and see what the Lord will do in this altar service. You know, folks, in the middle of the service, when people start, you know, moving toward the altar, I don't know, I've been a preacher for a little while, and you know, you've studied out a message and you're expecting, you're prepared, and people start moving toward the altar in the middle of the service, and I didn't get nervous at all, Brother Robert, because I know the Holy Ghost is going to do what He wants to do. And that's what I'm here for tonight. I want the Holy Ghost to do what He wants to do. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. He took the mantle of Elijah and smote the waters. Amen. This mantle that fell from the shoulders of Elijah was signifying Elijah's position and what he was, the prophet, the man of God. Now in the book of Acts chapter 2, we know the first few verses very familiar to us. I would like to begin reading in verse number 12, if we might tonight. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 12 says, "They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, 'What meaneth this?' Others mocking said, 'These men are full of new wine.' But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, 'Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.'" And verse number 39 says, "For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." We look at the story of Elijah and Elisha. We see that the mantle was passed to Elisha to begin his ministry. But there came a time in Elisha's life that he had to have an experience for himself. And there's a lot of young preachers here tonight. I'm the least among my brethren here. And there's a lot of young ladies who are coming on into the ministry. And there's a mantle that is being passed down to you. But that mantle is not going to do you any good unless you get an experience for yourself. You will not survive on the experience of your pastor or your youth pastor or someone that you look up to that you feel like is your mentor. But you're going to have to get your own experience with God. I want to preach to you tonight on a second-hand mantle and a first-hand experience. A second-hand mantle and a first-hand experience. Lord, would you lay your hand upon me as I do my very best to speak your word. Lord, I pray that you would move in this place as only you can. Lord, I tremble in your presence, in your house, in front of this great congregation, Lord, knowing the responsibility to deliver your word. I pray that you would move upon us. You would bring us to this altar, Lord, that you would baptize. Oh God, would you baptize somebody in the Holy Ghost tonight in this altar? Lord, would you refuel some elders, Lord, who have dreamed the dream of Pentecost, and let the Holy Ghost flow fresh again in their vessel, we pray. We'll give you the glory for what you're going to do. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. A second-hand mantle and a first-hand experience. We can read in the book of Acts chapter 2. We can read in the book of Joel chapter 2. We find many similarities in these passages of Scripture. Joel is prophesying of what will happen in the last days, that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. We can look around and readily see that we are living in the last of the last days. The world is getting more and more wicked as time goes on. The Bible says, except those days be shortened, the very elect could be deceived. I believe that we are growing closer and closer to the imminent return of Jesus Christ and the rapturing away of His bride. And I know that in these last and evil days that we are living in, as young people especially, and as moms and dads, we are going to have an experience for ourselves that will carry us through these evil days that we are facing in this hour in which we are living. Peter stands up with the 11 in our text. He lifts up his voice and begins to preach concerning the power of Pentecost. These are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is the prophecy that Joel spake, and it's coming to pass right before your very eyes. If you will, they had tasted of the new wine, and they begin to act in ways that they had never acted before. They spoke in languages as the Spirit gave the utterance, languages that they had never spoken before. Brother Pepper, they received the joy of Pentecost. Hallelujah. I know there's joy in sanctification, and you know, Paul talked about the warring that was in his members. And that was sanctification that was trying to take control of the flesh. And once he ended that war by saying yes to the Lord, he found the joy of sanctification. But we know that the Bible tells us that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We see the disciples acting in ways that they had never acted before. And those that were looking on, they said that they were amazed and were in doubt. They said one to another, "What meaneth this?" And I can tell you that in these last days, when the local body of Christ starts having revival, there's going to be people that are going to start asking, "What is this all about? Why do you act this way? Why do you shout the way that you shout? Why do you speak in tongues? How is it that you're able to lay hands on the sick and see them recover?" There's going to be a lot of different reactions. There's going to be a lot of different opinions. But I can tell you tonight, church,
that we will not be victorious in these last days just simply by our own sheer willpower to serve God and to stand against the kingdom of darkness, but it's going to take a power from another world. It's going to take an experience from another world to stand against the kingdom of darkness in these last and evil days. Amen. Well, preacher, I've got to ask you tonight, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture? I would be a fool tonight to try to put that somewhere, insert that somewhere into Scripture, because the Bible tells us, even in our text in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read in Acts chapter 16, the jailer, they told him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Acts chapter 19, 17 chapters after Pentecost was poured out, the Bible says that they came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples there. They did not understand that the Holy Ghost had been given. They did not know that the Holy Ghost had been poured out. They were following after the teachings of John the Baptist, but it did not mean that they were not born again. I want to tell you tonight, friend, that to get to heaven, it is the blood plus nothing that will wash your sins away. There's no righteous works that we can perform. There's no amount of church attendance that we can have to write our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I would love to destroy that damnable doctrine tonight in this service that says that you got to speak in tongues to be born again. Hogwash tonight, friend. You must be born again by calling on the name of Jesus and putting your faith and your trust in the blood to wash away your sins. It is the blood plus nothing that will get you to heaven, friend. I want you to understand that the blood will get you in the city, but it's going to take the Holy Ghost to get you to the city. It's just simply the blood that washes away our sin. But friend, in this last day that we're going to be facing a kingdom of darkness, as James told us last night, the Bible says that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I can tell you why. It's because God said, in the last days, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I'm going to empower my church. I'm going to give my church what they need to be victorious, to move forward in this world, to advance the kingdom of God in this earth. Amen. It only takes the blood to live in that city, but it's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost to live in this city, friend. Oh, Brother Terrence, we need an experience for ourselves. I said we need an experience for ourselves. I want you to stand with me all over the house just quickly. Now, this is a little weird, but I want you to turn around and touch the seat with the back of your hand where you were just sitting. Just do it. Just do that for me. Is it cold? You're weird, preacher. God has called His church to be more than just pew warmers in this last day that we're living in. You could be seated tonight. I know that's a weird way to make a point, friend, but I think you got the message. And every time you stand up out of a pew and sit back down and you feel that pew is still warm, I want you to remember that there was a young fat preacher that told you one night, it's going to take more than just a pew warming experience. Just being faithful to God's house, just paying your tithes, just showing up to prayer meeting. And I believe that God expects all of those things from a faithful and a glorious church. But it's going to take more than that tonight, friend. It's going to take an experience, a power from another world that moves and breathes in your life, that moves your feet in the direction that they must go, that shows you and reveals to you the higher calling that God has placed upon your life. I can tell you tonight, young folks, the pastor already told us, when we're done and when we come to this altar, you need to find a place and say yes to the Lord. Lord. I said, you need to say yes to the Lord. Yes, Lord, I'll preach the gospel. Yes, Lord, I'll go to the mission field. Yes, Lord, I'll work with young people. Yes, Lord, I'll work in children's ministry. Yes, Lord, I'll be a pastor. God, whatever you want me to do, because I've got to have that mantle. I've got to have that experience that only comes from submission to God.
I want you to know that when you get an experience with God, there will be times that experience will keep you. Oh God. 13 years ago, April the 25th, on a Tuesday night, 2006, I was called to preach. Two nights later in the same revival, Jesus baptized me with the Holy Ghost. And I'll share this little bit of funny with you since he's here tonight, Brother Matt Dayton. That night after church, we all got in your Jeep and we went to McDonald's. A bunch of the young folks. And you know how I know that experience was real? Because it didn't leave me when I walked out of God's house. But sitting in the back of that Jeep with my feet on top of a chop saw, the Holy Ghost came all over me again. On the way to McDonald's. Friend, I had to get an experience with God. I said I had to get an experience with God. And that experience will keep you, friend. I want to share just a little bit about what happened on July the 10th of last year. Today is 10 months. Ironically, since that accident took place in my life, rattled my cage and shook my family, shook my friends, I could tell you, and as that lift was going down and I called on the name of Jesus, I didn't have time to explain to the Lord that my tithes were paid, that I've been faithful, my house was holy, my family was walking in right. I didn't have time to explain all that and then hold God to His word. All I could do was call on the name of Jesus. And that name, that it encompasses every need. And when I hit that floor, friend, it snapped off my heel bone. It ran my left shin bone down through the bottom of my foot, put a great big hole in the bottom of my foot, snapped my foot off, broke my heel bone in about 12 pieces. I've seen the pictures of it. But I can tell you that when I sat up off that concrete, I didn't know what my name was. I was telling somebody, please call my wife. I couldn't even call her name. But friend, when I sat up off that concrete, I was speaking in another language. Because there was an experience that was still alive even in that moment. I didn't know who I was. I didn't even understand everything that had happened, what exactly was going on. But my friend, there was an experience that I had received years ago, and it was keeping me in that moment, friend. And in the times since then, can I preach my heart to you? At times, whenever I was fighting off depression, laying in a hospital bed in my own home and wanting to preach the gospel and wanting to sing behind a microphone and lift up the name of Jesus, but I was busy fighting off depression, friend. And the devil telling me it'll never go back to the way that it used to be. It'll never go back to how it used to be. Joe, you might as well hang up your harp on the willow tree and give up your song. But I can tell you tonight, friend, it was times like that, under pain that was so excruciating. I don't have words to describe it tonight, friend. Well, the Holy Ghost would come on me. And I'd start praying in the Spirit. I began to sing in the Holy Ghost. And He gave me strength, friend. It's because I had an experience. Not just a mantle. Not just a calling. Not just a desire to preach. Not just a will to sing. But an experience with God that would keep me through the dark times. And there's some of you here tonight. I'm feeling awful dangerous, Sister Gans. There's some of you here tonight that you're a survivor. You've been through some experience.
experiences that you don't care to live through again. I was thinking this afternoon, there was going to be some moms here tonight that you've lost a child. Just let off, feel the Holy Ghost. Some of you were able to hold those children, and some of you were not able to hold those children. But there was an experience that kept you through the darkness, through the times of depression. It wasn't just a calling to the ministry that was keeping you. It was an experience from another world. And God said, I'm going to give them power. They might be fighting depression. They might be fighting the demons of hell. But I'm going to make them a survivor. I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to keep using them in the kingdom of God. Because God's not done with you yet, friend. There's a higher calling. There's an experience, a first-hand experience that God wants you to have that will keep you in the high times and it'll keep you in the low times. Mama Crafton, it kept you in the low times. It kept you in the times when it looked hopeless. There's some of you sitting here tonight. Maybe you're walking through that hopeless moment in your life. It's going to be an experience in the Holy Ghost that keeps you walking. It's going to be the Holy Ghost that keeps you in the ministry. And the devil's trying to tear your family apart. Oh God, I'm talking to you from this preacher's heart tonight. Trying to tear apart your ministry. Trying to tear apart your calling. But friend, if you get a first-hand experience with God, He can take you through. I said He'll pull you through tonight, friend. If you'll trust in Him. Come on, let's worship the Lord here for just a few minutes. Oh, Holy Ghost. Oh, my God, my God, my God. Come on, we ought to thank the Holy Ghost for taking time to speak to us directly in this service. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody's going to walk right out of this valley with your hands up in the air. Right out of the valley, the shadow of death. You're going to walk out of this valley with your hands in the air. My God, I want to talk to you tonight. It's not because you can sing. It's not because you can preach. It's not because you can move a crowd with your words. It's not because you feel like you're called to children's ministry or you're called to clean the toilets in the church. But it's going to be because you have an experience with a God from another world, a power from another world. They look at you and they say, why on earth have you not blamed God for what happened? Why on earth? How on earth can you not say that God had a hand in that? I can tell you, friend, God did have a hand in it. Because if it wasn't for God, you wouldn't be sitting on these pews here tonight. You wouldn't have had a desire to come to God's house and to worship God in spite of the fact Job was standing before God. Satan standing before God with the sons of God. And he said, God, if you'll let me touch Job, if you'll let me take everything that he has, he'll curse you to your face. I could just see God, Brother Lester Mullis, as he sits back on his throne. Because he's got confidence in Job. You know why? Because Job's got an experience with God. Job's got a relationship with God. And Job got down to the place, even though the devil couldn't come, but so far. And I can promise you that when you're a child of God, if the will of God is not yet fulfilled in your life, you are invincible to the kingdom of darkness. There's not a devil in hell that can separate you from the love of God. There's not a devil in hell that can take your life, because God's will is not done with you yet, friend. I want you to know there was a hedge of protection around Job. And I want you to hear me tonight, friend. There's been a few times that I've seen the devil approach that hedge. I've seen him come awful close to the bloodline, but I've never seen him cross it. I said, I've never seen him cross it. He's tried to reach. He's tried to steal, kill, and destroy. But he's never crossed it, friend. I said, he's never crossed it. Because somebody had an experience with God.
Job got to the place where he said, though he slay me, even if he thinks it's best to take my life, I'm still going to trust him. The three Hebrew boys went into that fire not knowing the future. They said, our God is able to deliver us from your hand, O king, but if not, we will not bow. They had no promise that God would deliver them. And I want to tell you here tonight that as children of the Most High God, there will be fiery furnaces that you have to walk through. There will be trials that you have to face and things that you have to experience that you feel like are literally going to kill you, literally going to burn up everything in your life. And the Bible tells us that King Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and I love to shout until my shoes come off about the fourth man in the fire. But I don't really have scripture for this now, but I want you to hear what the Bible says. The Bible says that it was the king that looked in and saw the fourth man. The Bible never tells us that those three boys saw the fourth man. And I can tell, I know I'm out on a limb right there, but that's where the fruit is. I want you to hear me tonight, friend. There's times you're walking through a furnace and you don't see the fourth man in the fire. I want you to know there's somebody looking on, and there's seeing God work. They're watching God move. I can promise you, there were times I didn't see God. Sister Amy didn't see God in the darkness, in the fog, walking by faith and not by sight. But there was people watching. I'm not glorifying Brother Joe. I'm glorifying the Holy Ghost that stood by this young family and kept us through the trial of our life, because we had an experience that would keep us.
Oh God.
Peter is prophesying of what's going to take place. They begin to face opposition, but they knew that their calling was higher, their mission was greater than just giving up because of persecution, and giving up because they were stoned, and giving up because one of their star deacons, one of the greatest men that stepped onto the pages of the New Testament, the first martyr, Stephen, they didn't give up. The church, triumphant, kept marching on. And there's some folks here tonight, you're walking through that furnace right now, and you are part of the church, triumphant. And you already have an experience in the Holy Ghost. And I come to tell you on the authority of the Word of God, if you'll get in this altar tonight, in this altar service, and you'll let God work in your life as only He can and give you strength, you're going to come walking out of that valley of the shadow of death. I said, you're going to come walking out with your hands up. I never dreamed that I'd come walking out, Sister Jenny, with my hands up. It only seemed like a dream. But now, I look back, Brother Whittle, I can't believe it's been 10 months. I can't believe how far God has brought us. How much God has done.
And I can't say it's by the arm of the flesh. I can't say Brother Seth Hoover's, because the prayers of thousands, hundreds of people that were praying, but I know that it was. I know that they had a part in it. But I know that the only thing at times that I had to cling to, when the friends on Facebook weren't sending messages, when the phone wasn't ringing with texts and calls saying, Brother Gans, your family was on my heart this morning. I don't know exactly what's going on, but I'm praying. Friend, that happened just this week. But if there was none of that taking place, I still have an experience. I said, I still have an experience that I can lean back on, that I can allow the Holy Ghost to begin to pray through me, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, an experience that will keep you through the darkest of times, through the valley of the shadow of death. He will walk with you and He will not leave you. We're claiming to be Pentecostal here tonight. Jesus said, I will build my church. And it doesn't matter what the worldly church disagrees with us and how that we dress and our methods of worship and our modes of operating in the church. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God. It wasn't the promise of a man walking the face of the earth. It wasn't a promise of some prominent pastor that preaches on television and Facebook and all of these other different media outlets and avenues by which we can reach the world. But it was God, the creator of the universe, that said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. And there's some of you, and the Holy Ghost already spoke it here tonight. There are some of you that there are great things that you have seen, and there are great things that God has done for you that you may not even realize, things that you don't even know about. But He also spoke of things that would be happening in the future to you and to those around you. So maybe this message is coming, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, friend. You ever heard that old adage? I want you to know, take courage tonight. In the future, when the valley of the shadow of death is looming high on every hand, you have an experience with the Holy Ghost that will keep you in the darkest of times, laying in that hospital bed after they had done surgery on my foot on my little girl's birthday. She was out of state. I couldn't even spend her birthday with her. I was out of my mind on drugs. They were trying everything they could do to keep the pain at a minimum, but what they were doing didn't seem to even touch the pain, my friend. I woke up about 1:30 in the morning. I was crying. I began to weep. I began to cry out loud. The pain was so great. And Sister Amy was sitting in the chair next to the bed. That faithful, godly wife. Wow, that God had given to me to stand by me in sickness and in health. And I want you to hear me tonight, young people. Let God choose the mate. I said, let God choose the one that you need. But sitting in that chair, weeping and crying and praying, listening to this preacher holler and say things like, God, do you even care? Because that's how desperate that my situation had gotten. Maybe there's some of you here tonight, those same words have come out of your mouth. God, do you even care? God, do you even see? But the Holy Ghost spoke to us by the mouth of the prophet and said, I see everything that's going on. Did you know Jesus doesn't take His eyes off His church? Doesn't Revelation chapter 1 tell us He walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks? He's walking in the midst of His church as by the pepper. He sees when pastors are struggling. He sees when pastors are at their weakest point in their ministry. He sees when youth pastors are stumbling and faltering at the cares of life and things that they have to face. He sees when faithful churchgoers and tithe payers are facing things they've never had to face before. And Brother Ryan Whitley, I believe tonight that God has His eye on His church. And He knows what you've been through. He knows what you're going through. And He knows what's coming. And He's calling to you and saying, I want to give you an experience that's going to keep you And if you've come through the fire, and maybe you've got your hands high, and maybe you've got your hands lifted coming out of the valley, or maybe you're coming out of that valley saying, my God, if I could just make it to the top of the mountain and feel the presence of God one more time like I've felt Him in the past, I know I'm going to make it. Friend, that's what this altar service is going to be about for you tonight, coming out of that valley with your hands up and saying, only by the experience that I had with God was I able to make it. Oh God, my Bible still says it'll come to pass in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I love that song in the songbook. There are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which made us all acclaim. It is burning now within my heart. All glory to His name. And I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of those Pentecostals. But I'm also a part of the church that time to time is called to walk through a fiery furnace, a time of trying, a time of purification, a time of the silver being tried seven times until it comes out and the gold is shining, the reflection of the master builder in that gold. Friend, that's what He's wanting to do, but He's not going to leave you in that furnace if you'll make up your mind. God, even if I can't see the end of the tunnel, I'm still going to serve You. I'm not going to bow. God, I'm not going to let depression get me down. Oh God, I'm speaking to somebody here tonight. I fought depression. I fought hell head on, friend. It came against my family. It came against my wife. It came against our marriage. And the only way that we could overcome was by joining hands in the Spirit and praying until the Holy Ghost began to pray through us. And He began to fight those spirits of darkness that were coming against my family. It was an experience that kept me going. It wasn't the fact that I liked to preach. It wasn't the fact that I liked to sing. But it was the fact that I was a child of God. And God said, the Lord knoweth them that are His. The Lord knoweth. The foundation stands sure tonight, friend. God knows who you are. Let's worship the Lord here for just a moment. God, would You help this preacher tonight? Lord, would You help me? Oh God. There's times when singing a song behind a microphone and feeling the anointing may not pull you through. This was not the crux of what I felt like the Lord was leading me to tonight, but the Lord led me in this direction thus far. There were times when picking up a microphone, Brother Whitley, it felt good in the moment. But as soon as I kicked the brakes off that wheelchair and went right back down the aisle and crammed myself in that little car, and Sister Amy packed up that wheelchair in the back of the car and we had to go home, you know what I had to do? I had to crawl out of that wheelchair and slide across a little board and get back in that hospital bed. And nights I'd stay awake till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning because I couldn't sleep. Because the devil was lying in my ear. The devil was trying to destroy my faith in God. And the only thing that kept me was my experience with God. And there's some of you that can testify to that here tonight. The only thing that kept you in your hour of darkness was your relationship with God. People had nice things to say. Yeah, and I accept that, and I like that, and I like when friends call, and I like when friends pick up the phone, Brother Jason, and say, man, I've just been praying for you today. I know you're going through it, and I don't understand, and I've never been there, but I'm praying for you. And that's nice, friend. But what about when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and nobody's awake and nobody's picking up the phone? Nobody's calling to encourage you. You're left alone with your thoughts, Sister Mollis. You're left alone with your dreams. You're woken up in the middle of the night with a nightmare of somebody trying to attack your family. I can tell you, friend, there were nights laying in the bed. I promise you, the spirit of fear began to attack our family. I've only told this one other time, but there was one night about 2 o'clock in the morning. I woke woke up and I couldn't go back to sleep. And the spirit of fear began to attack my mind. I started praying, but it just seemed to get stronger and stronger. And I don't think it was a vision, because I know it wasn't from God. But I was laying there in my bed with my eyes closed, and it was like I was looking over and I could see my wife, and she was laying on a beautiful white blanket with her head on a pillow, with her hair fixed all nice down on the side like I like her to do it just right, and her hands were folded. And I looked back and I looked up and I saw flowers all around, and the devil showed me, I believe it was, that spirit of fear started attacking me, and he says, I'm going to put her in a casket. And where are you going to be then, preacher? Where are you going to be then when I take the love of your life? Where are you going to be then when I take the one that God gave to you? You know what I had to do, friend? I couldn't just lay there in the bed and go to sleep. I had to roll over and get out of bed. I crawled to the living room and I got in that couch, Brother Pepper, and I started praying until I felt the authority of the Holy Ghost, and I cast that old spirit out of my house, and he ain't been back since, because I got an experience in my own living room and he gave me power. The mantle wasn't enough at that moment. There was no crowd to preach to. There was no congregation to lead in worship. I felt in Girard, Kansas, Brother Rogers' church. It was the first time that I ever stood behind a pulpit in a regular service and led worship. And I sang number 92, Just a Little Talk with Jesus. I didn't even have the Holy Ghost at that time. But it was as if I felt a mantle just kind of... You remember what it felt like the first time you felt the mantle across your shoulders? Sometimes, Brother Jason, that's what will carry you through. That experience. We read that Elijah came by, threw that mantle on Elisha's shoulders. Elisha said, "Whoa, wait a minute. I know you. You're the man of God." At that moment, Brother Pepper, he got his eyes on the man. And the prophet of God had sense enough, Brother Mollis, to turn around and say, "What have I to do with thee? That's not me doing that. That's God calling you." And Eli had sense enough to look at Samuel and say, "No, Samuel, this ain't my plan. This is God's plan." And there's some of you tonight, you need to realize this is not man's plan. This is God's plan for your life. Do you remember what it felt like the first time you felt the mantle on your shoulders? You said, "Oh God, that's for me." But that secondhand mantle that's being passed down from the generations past of Pentecost, we buried Sister Jessie Horner. Her daughter is here tonight, 88 years old. Sister Jessie passed when I was about 6 or 7. James and I sang at her funeral in this town to about 400 people. They shouted the paint off the walls, because they knew that woman was a godly saint of God. And her daughter is here tonight now, who has reached the same age as Sister Jessie Horner. Sister Jessie would sit in that nursing home Sunday after Sunday as we'd preach and sing and stumble and mumble and bumble. And she'd sit back there and talk in tongues. Power of God. It didn't matter. She lived in a nursing home. She had an experience with God. And there was nothing in the world that could take it from her. And she passed it down to her daughter. And I've seen her shake under the power of God and speak in tongues. Sister Johnson, no doubt you had somebody that passed it down to you. And it was wonderful to know somebody passed Pentecost down to my next generation. I'm just second, maybe third generation Pentecostal here tonight. But somebody passed it down to me. And I want to pass it down to my kids. And I want them to know what real Pentecost is. But that's not going to be enough, Brother Robert Byron, for me to pass it down to my children and show them what real Pentecost really is. And show them what it means to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. and show them what it means to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. That's not going to be enough for them. They're going to have to get an experience for themselves. Last Sunday night, our son broke out with a rash across his chest. We thought he was coming down with chicken pox. And Sister Amy goes in the kitchen and gets the old cooking oil and brings it in the living room. Man, we had had church on Sunday. I preached twice. I was soaking wet both services. I was wrung completely out until I could barely move, friend. I had given everything to those services. We had had prayer line. We had shouted as much as Pentecostals could. But my friend, that little boy needed an experience with God. And we laid hands on him. And the next day, friend, that rash, it's small to you, friend. But I want to pass it down to my children. I want them to know that it's real. But it's not going to be enough just for me to show it to them. And it's not going to be enough just for your pastor to show you that it's real. You need an experience for yourself. Stand with me all over the house tonight. Would y'all come to the music? Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord and ask God to help us in this altar service. God, we have felt your spirit. We have felt your power. You said that you would pour out of your spirit upon all flesh. And Lord, there may be a next generation that's receiving the mantle. But God, they need an experience for themselves here in this service tonight. I want you to know, Elisha got Elijah's mantle. Brother Terrence, Elisha had to get Elisha's experience. You may get a mantle passed down from somebody else. Somebody may lay hands on you like Paul did to Timothy. He said, stir up the gift that is within thee by the laying on of my hands and the hands of the presbytery. But there came a moment in Timothy's life that he had to make up his mind that he was going to serve God no matter what. And there's some of you here tonight. God's been working on you. God's been calling you. God's been dealing with your heart. He wants you to work in the ministry. He wants to put you in the kingdom of God. It may be scrubbing toilets. It may be preaching the gospel. But my God, let's get behind this thing and push. Let's get into this kingdom and watch God work as only God can do. There may be a mantle being passed down to us, but we're going to have to get our own experience with God. You're not going to make it, Brother Lucas, on Daddy's anointing and Daddy's experience. And your daddy's one of the greatest prolific preachers I've ever heard. But that's not good enough for you. Brother Gans, your experience with God and the way you raised your sons is not good enough. Just for you to pass it down and just to show us what it means. And that's what it took. And it had to be that way, and God commanded you to do it. This is not about the Gans family tonight. I just want you to understand, it doesn't matter who you are in the kingdom of God. If that mantle is passed down to you, great. And it needs to be, and the anointing needs to be on your life. But you've got to get it for yourself. If I can take my liberty here tonight, I would like for everyone from the age of 40 and older to come and stand with your back to this altar and face the congregation quickly. Can you do that here tonight? The generation that goes before, the generation that is here now, 40 and older. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. This is the generation. There's a lot of white hair walking up here. There's a lot of people that are worthy of double honor that are walking up here. Here stands Sister Jessie Horner's daughter right here in the white hair. This precious saint of God lived it for year after year after year. And as much as these pastors, these moms and dads, these mentors have tried to pour into your life, you have got to have an experience for yourself. Now I want the rest of you, if you don't mind, to gather in around these altars and face the platform. And these that are gathered, the generation before us, I want them to begin to lay hands on you. And they may have the power to transfer the mantle, but only the Holy Ghost can give you an experience and anointing that you need. Their intentions are great, and I respect that and I revere that, and we honor them tonight as our elders. But there's an experience with God that we have yet to receive. A higher calling. Come on. Older generation, let's begin to pray with those that have come. Would you lay hands on them? Would you find your grandchildren? Would you find your kids in this altar? Would you find your family in this altar? Let's lay hands on them and believe God to give them an experience that they've not had as yet. There are trials that are coming. There are fiery trials on the horizon, and they're going to need an experience to carry them through. They're going to need a power from another world to carry them through. There's folks here tonight, myself included, that are on crutches and canes. We need an experience. We need a healing in this place tonight, friend. We need an experience that will carry us through. Come on, let's pray for this younger generation tonight. Let's pray for them and ask God, God, would you pour out of your Spirit as you promise upon all flesh? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. God, would you do it again tonight? Would you do it again tonight, oh God? Would you move, God, as only you can, in Jesus' name? God, touch this younger generation.
Anoint these young men. I'm tired of just the same old thing, of tradition wearing out your name. I'm tired of man-made worship power. I'm tired. I'm tired of a song without any praise, where worshiping you is out of place. I'm tired of religious forms.